Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll be reading verses 1 through 22 to the end of the chapter. And this is the word of God. It is profitable for all of us. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a mute donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are springs without water, and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse than for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And that is the word to us. In chapter 1, remember, thinking of if you were in adult Sabbath school class, the context. Chapter 1, we're reminded of the truth of the gospel, the word of God. It has come to us by the work of the Holy Spirit working through men as instruments, the instruments of the apostles and the prophets. And yet, in chapter 2, You get a big but at the beginning of chapter 2. You are reminded that even in the midst of that, even as the truth continues to go forth and it's proclaimed, there will be false teachers. And you notice that it says, the second phrase, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. And Peter's talking to the saints. He's talking to the righteous. He's talking to the church. And amongst the church, there will be, Peter says, the Lord through Peter says, false teachers. And so here's our warning about them. Notice, again, the wording, just as there will be. And there is. And so what do these false prophets and false teachers do? It tells us that they secretly introduce destructive heresies that contradict, that go against the truth, that go against the Word, that go against Scripture. And they might even have, oftentimes, you hear the saying that every truth or every lie has a hint of truth in it, or every false thing has a hint of truth in it, to deceive. Even when Satan deceived Adam and Eve, he had hints of truth in there. It seemed very much like what he was saying was Scripture, and yet it wasn't. And so the same thing with false teachers, false prophets. They will bring parts of the truth, and yet they will be contained in that lies. They deny the Master, Jesus Christ, and they come to destruction, it says. They will come. Now, who are the people who follow them? May that not be us. Who will follow them? It says, many will follow their sensuality and their greed. They will exploit God's people with false words, with lies. Some of us have experienced people who even unconsciously have told us lies about the truth. There are false teachers, beloved. That's what we're seeing here, obviously. And we need to be discerning about this present evil age that we live in, about these false teachers and false prophets. About even their presence among us. May they not be allowed by the Lord to take part in this congregation. And that should be our prayer. Not only for our congregation, but for all congregations of the Lord and His church. And we know, and we have seen many, you know, you turn on TV and you can see many false teachers amongst the body, even in leadership roles, obviously, of assemblies who fit the description that they're of the church. What will happen to them, though? What will happen to these false teachers and false prophets? Verses 4 to 11 pronounces that they will be certainly judged. They will be certainly judged, and having these overtones about what we've been reading in Genesis, not only with Noah, but also with Lot and that day with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he says, not even that the angels were not spared. And so thinking before creation, when Satan himself and his pride tried to overthrow God, or you know, wanted to overthrow God, and all those who followed him, all those angels cast out into hell. So they were not spared. And we learned that the people of Noah's day, the world outside of Noah's family, they were not spared. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they were not spared with their false lies and teachings. And yet the good news for the beloved, for God's children, is that He did spare Noah and his family. He did spare Lot, didn't He? That's what we learn here. He did spare these people because of their faith. They were righteous. Because of their faith, God credited them with Jesus' righteousness. And so, to be spared from judgment, the Lord says, have faith in me. But false teachers, their judgment is certain. They will not be spared. And then finally, their immoral ways are denounced. You see the description of these false teachers. They're called unreasoning animals. They're beasts. They're not angels, even though they might long to be angels. They actually go below their own species. They're no longer human in some sense. They're human, but they act like animals. And some of the words used here about them, you think of these words, they're unreasoning, stains, they're blemishes, deceptive, adulterous, full of sin, greedy, forsaking righteousness, they're dried up springs, mist driven by a storm, reserved for the black darkness. There's a description of hell that we often don't think about. They are slaves of corruption. As they are amongst the body, the church, they are constantly receiving the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so they have some of the covenant privileges because they're part of the visible church. They don't believe and have faith in Christ, but they're all of those who have been baptized. They're part of the church. They come and they hear the word. And so they grow in the knowledge of Jesus. And yet they're enslaved to the world still. They're still enslaved to the world, and they're continually overcome by the world and by its sins and pleasures. These false teachers, their actions, their lives, they're all denounced. They will be judged eternally, and yet these people are amongst the church. And we need to be watchful and discerning, elders especially, that one, we would not become these false teachers, but also Timothy says, watch your life and doctrine closely. And that is so you'll save yourself and your hearers, so you won't become a false teacher. But also others amongst the body. You see people who speak to those in the body, who are part of the body, who by their words create division. And they're gossip. They're gossips. They're slanderers of other people. That's the false teachers. And when they start doing that, you know there's something wrong with this person and their sin. And they need to go to Jesus right now and have faith in Him and turn from their sin. Because they're causing division in the church. And if they're, you've been in a part of or a situation where someone says something and you start to think negatively about someone in the church, there's a problem with that person. They're not necessarily a false teacher, but it's a problem. Because here, we're being warned against that disrupting the unity of the church with these false teachers. We need to be discerning because the ones who are false teachers are the ones who lead people not towards Jesus, but they lead people towards hell. And so be warned and discerning about these types of people. And that's what we need to be understanding about in this second chapter compared to the first chapter. Where the Word is proclaimed and the Word comes clearly. So be discerning, that means to be able to discern between good and evil. What's good? Good is what God says. And God's people are good. So be conscious about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the church. We thank You for the Word that You've given to us, to the apostles, the prophets. By Your Spirit, You've worked through these instruments, and we thank You that we, many of us, have Bibles. We actually can see the Word and read it, and we praise You for that. And we also know, as Your Word says, that there are false teachers. Lord, we do pray that there would be no false teachers amongst this congregation. But Father, we do pray that You would protect us not only now, but also in the future from false teachers, false prophets, from those who would try to come in and whether consciously or unconsciously steal sheep and steal them and even those new believers who are not who are wavering and perhaps who have many doubts, Lord, we pray that You would strengthen the elders, especially and the members of this church, to protect us from false teachings and lies. And give us the Word. Give us discerning hearts. And Father, we pray for the church worldwide, the visible church, that You would protect Your people, Your elect, and those who You have saved from judgment, saved from these false teachers. We pray that You would cause these false teachers to have absolutely no influence on them, but rather that each one, each of Your children, even from the littlest to the oldest, would be able to discern good and evil. that we would not take part in gossip or slander, but that we would love the body so much that we'd be willing to stop people from doing that and protect each other's good name, as we're called to in the ninth commandment. That we would not bear false witness against our neighbor. Father, we ask that you would have the word to go forth from this place and from your church worldwide, powerfully, that your word would go forth and people would be saved, that the church, you would grow your church, you would grow your people, and those who you have elected from eternity past, that you would bring them to yourself and reconcile yourself to them and themselves to you. Through Jesus, we know, by faith. For we pray these things in his name. Amen.